Lesson 87, Alma 27 through 29. Introduction. When the Lamanites were unsuccessful in their attacks on the Nephites, they turned their anger toward the anti-Nephi Lehites. Because of the covenant the anti-Nephi Lehites had made to never again shed the blood of others, they refused to take up arms to defend themselves. Ammon led the anti-Nephi Lehites to Zarahemla, where they received protection from the Nephites and became known as the people of Ammon. As the Nephites defended the people of Ammon against the Lamanites, thousands of Nephites and Lamanites perished in battle. Despite the sorrow the Nephites felt for the deaths of their loved ones, many of them found hope and joy in the Lord's promise that the righteous would be raised to dwell at the right hand of God in a state of never-ending happiness. Suggestions for teaching. Alma 27. Ammon leads the people of anti-Nephi Lehi to safety among the Nephites. Ask students to raise their hands if they have ever had someone make a promise to them and then break that promise. Then ask them to raise their hands if they have had someone make a promise and then keep it. How do you feel toward people who keep their promises? Why? How do you think the Lord feels about those who keep their promises to Him? Introduce Alma 27 by explaining that after the Lamanites unsuccessfully tried to destroy the Nephites, they attacked the anti-Nephi Lehites, the Lamanites who had been converted through the service of Ammon and his brothers. Ask students to recall what the anti-Nephi Lehites did to show the Lord that they would keep their covenant to never again use weapons for the shedding of man's blood. They buried their weapons of war. To find out how determined the anti-Nephi Lehites were to keep their promise, invite a student to read Alma 27, verses 2 through 3 aloud. You might also suggest that students read Alma 24, 18 through 19, and write this reference in the margin next to Alma 27, 3. If you were one of the anti-Nephi Lehites, how difficult might it be for you to keep your covenant and not go to battle to defend yourself and your loved ones? Invite students to read Alma 27, 4 through 10 silently, looking for what Ammon proposed to do to protect the anti-Nephi Lehites and to help them keep their covenants. Ask a student to summarize this passage. Invite a student to read Alma 27, 11 through 12 aloud and ask the class to look for the instruction Ammon received from the Lord. Explain that the anti-Nephi Lehites followed Ammon to Zarahemla. You may want to summarize Alma 27, 16 through 19, pointing out that it was under these circumstances that Ammon and the other sons of Mosiah reunited with Alma, as recounted in Alma 17, 1 through 4. Explain that the chief judge of the Nephites asked the people if they would allow the anti-Nephi Lehites to live among them. Invite students to read Alma 27, 22 through 24 silently, looking for the Nephites' response to the chief judge's proclamation. How did the Nephites say they would help the anti-Nephi Lehites? Why do you think the Nephites were willing to protect their former enemies? Ask students to read Alma 27, 26 silently to discover what the Nephites began to call the anti-Nephi Lehites. Ask a few students to take turns reading aloud from Alma 27, 27 through 30. Have the class follow along, looking for what the people of Ammon became known for. Invite students to report what they find. What impresses you about the people of Ammon? Why? What does Alma 27, 27 through 30 teach about the relationship between being converted to the Lord and keeping covenants? Students may use different words, but they should demonstrate that they understand the following truth. When we are fully converted to the Lord, we keep the covenants we have made with Him. You might want to write this principle on the board. Who in your life has been an example of this principle? Alma 28. The Nephites defeat the Lamanites in a great battle. Point out that even though many of the Nephites were faithful, they still faced difficult trials. Explain that President Thomas S. Monson shared the following account of an experience he had in his youth. After hearing that his friend Arthur Patton had died in World War II, young Thomas Monson went to visit Arthur's mother, who was not a member of the church. He later recalled, quote, "A light went out in the life of Mrs. Patton. She groped in utter darkness and deep despair. With a prayer in my heart, I approached the familiar walkway to the Patton home, wondering what words of comfort could come from the lips of a mere boy. The door opened, and Mrs. Patton embraced me as she would her own son. Home became a chapel as a grief-stricken mother and a less than adequate boy knelt in prayer. Arising from our knees, Mrs. Patton gazed into my eyes and spoke, "Tommy, I belong to no church, but you do. Tell me, will Arthur live again?" End quote. How would you respond to Mrs. Patton's question? Read President Monson's response. Quote, "To the best of my ability, I testified to her that Arthur would indeed live again." End quote. How does knowledge of the plan of salvation change the perspective of those whose loved ones have died? Ask a few students to take turns reading aloud from Alma 28:1-3. Ask the class to look for the price the Nephites paid to help the people of Ammon keep their covenant. Invite students to read Alma 28:4-6 silently, looking for how so much death affected the Nephites. Ask students to search Alma 28:11-12 for reasons why some people might experience fear when loved ones die, while others might feel hope. Why might some people experience fear when loved ones die? Why are some people able to feel hope when loved ones die? Students may use different words, but they should express that when we have faith in Jesus Christ and the promises of the Lord, we can have hope and joy in times of death. Write the following incomplete sentence on the board, and thus we see blank. Ask students how they would complete the sentence based upon what they have studied in Alma 28. After students have had time to respond, invite a student to read Alma 28:13-14. Have students compare their responses with the principles taught in these verses. You might want to suggest that students mark the phrase, "and thus we see," each time it appears in these verses. Explain that Mormon often used this phrase to introduce important lessons we can learn from the accounts in the Book of Mormon. Note: help students recognize principles taught in the Scriptures. In some cases, gospel principles taught in the Scriptures are preceded by the phrase, "and thus we see." For example, in Alma 28:13-14, Mormon uses "and thus we see" to draw our attention to principles we can learn from the experiences of Ammon and the anti-Nephi Lehites. Teach students that as they study and ponder the Scriptures, they can find principles on their own by asking themselves, "What do these verses teach me?" What have you read in Alma 27-28 that supports Mormon's "and thus we see" statements? When have you seen someone face his or her own death or the death of a loved one with hope because of faith in Jesus Christ? How would you explain the resurrection to help someone have hope in the face of his or her own death or the death of a loved one? Alma 29. Alma glories in bringing souls unto God. Tell students that Alma 29 contains Alma's expression of his desire to be an instrument in the hands of the Lord. Invite a student to read Alma 29:1-3 aloud. Have the class look for what Alma would have done if he could have had the wish of his heart. He would have cried repentance unto every people. According to Alma 29:2, why did Alma desire this? Have students read Alma 29:4-5 silently, looking for what the Lord grants to those who have righteous desires. If students need help answering this question, you might point out the phrase, "I know that he granteth unto men according to their desire." Explain that if we desire righteous things, the Lord will bless us according to those desires. Point out that if all our righteous desires are not fulfilled in this life, they will be in the eternities. Ask students to search Alma 29:10, 14, and 16 individually, looking for the blessings Alma received as he helped others come unto Christ. Ask students to share what they find. What word did Alma use to describe how he felt about helping others come unto Christ? You might want to suggest that students mark each use of the word joy in these verses. What principle can we learn from Alma's experience of helping others repent and come unto Jesus Christ? Students may use different words, but they should show that they understand the following principle. We will experience joy as we help others repent and come unto Christ. When have you felt the joy that comes from helping others come unto Christ? Encourage students to look for opportunities to help others come unto Jesus Christ. Consider sharing a joyful missionary experience of your own. Commentary and background information. Alma 28:11-12. Finding peace when death occurs. Elder Russell M. Nelson of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles spoke about how our actions in this life can bring us peace when death occurs. Quote, "Brothers and sisters, we live to die, and we die to live, in another realm. If we are well prepared, death brings no terror. From an eternal perspective, death is premature only for those who are not prepared to meet God. Now is the time to prepare. Then, when death comes, we can move toward the celestial glory that Heavenly Father has prepared for His faithful children. Meanwhile, for sorrowing loved ones left behind, the sting of death is soothed by a steadfast faith in Christ, a perfect brightness of hope, a love of God and of all men, and a deep desire to serve them." End quote. Elder Wilford W. Anderson of the 70 related how some friends dealt with the death of their father. Quote, "Recently a dear friend of mine passed away from cancer. He and his family are people of great faith. It was inspiring to see how their faith carried them through this very difficult time. They were filled with an inner peace that sustained and strengthened them. With their permission, I would like to read from a family member's letter written just days before their father passed away. The last few nights have been especially difficult. Last night, as we gathered at Dad's bedside, the Spirit of the Lord was palpable and truly acted as a comforter to us. We were at peace. It has been the hardest thing any of us has ever experienced, but we feel peace in the knowledge that our Father in heaven has promised that we will live together as a family again. After the doctor told Dad in the hospital that there was nothing left to be done, he looked at all of us with perfect faith and boldly asked, 'Does anybody in this room have a problem with the plan of salvation?' We are grateful for a father and mother who taught us to have perfect trust in the plan." End quote.